As you're aware, this project includes a substantial outlay of federal funds. Also, Hobart Lake is an area that has significant migratory bird resources. I'm not sure why an environmental impact statement wasn't prepared, but I think it would have resulted in a better project. But that being said, I'd like to go over some of the issues that I think are important relative to this project. Hobart Lake is a major nesting ground for the western grebe. This is a charismatic species that is widely sought by birders and wildlife photographers from across the United States, in part because it has a unique courtship known by, I think, most birders in the United States and world. And I would add that there are millions, tens of millions of birders in the United States. And consequently, the other thing is that Hobart Lake, to my knowledge, is the only lake in the United States through which I-94 crosses, where you can see these western grebes in significant numbers, both during breeding and rearing of young. Grebes live in this lake because it contains the right foods and also the right nesting habitat, which are not found in most wetlands. And as a result, any major disturbance to that situation may well have a negative impact on the grebes. I think from the standpoint of this species, Valley City and the Valley City area has a unique opportunity to become a major birding site for people from the United States and elsewhere because of the habitats of the Cheyenne Valley and wetland sites, and particularly Hobart Lake. This has potential important economic aspects to the community, given that such areas exist widely in the United States and receive high use by the public. Getting down to the nitty-gritty why Hobart Lake is important to migratory birds in general. During high water periods, it has extensive areas of shallow habitat that flood grasses and other vegetation. This is what makes the site extremely productive for many species. It provides the macroinvertebrates, insects, bloodworms, a whole array, crustaceans. These birds require during migration and during reproduction. The more you confine the birds to permanent water, you have far less species present. You wind up with situations where you have basically only fish-eating birds, cormorants, gulls, pelicans. And every foot of water that is taken off of this shallow flooded zone, it has a major impact to bird populations that depend on this type of site. Areas where birds can get this habitat are in rapid decline and aren't readily available. Partly this is caused by vast number of wetlands being tilled when they're dry, which drastically reduces the macroinvertebrates, but there's also other things going on in the landscape that do the same thing. Hobart Lake being a large lake, it's a traditional area where these birds can stop and obtain such foods. I've spent a lot of time working on waterfowl and shorebirds and the foods they take and how much fat they store feeding on various types of foods. In shorebirds, and this is another thing from a birding standpoint, we have probably more shorebirds going through this country than just about any place in the United States. These are Arctic nesting shorebirds. While they're here, they typically put on substantial fat reserves. I'm also studying them in the Arctic after they arrive there, and they use the fat to fuel their migration, and it also is important to reproduction since they and some species of waterfowl have to depend heavily on the fat reserves that they acquire in the prairies before they go on to the breeding sites because the environment up there is pretty severe yet when they arrive. So Hobart Lake plays a important role to a lot of migratory water birds. Another thing that does concern me are the indirect impacts of this potentially on migratory water birds as well as humans downstream. Often once you open up a watershed and put in a drain, you get a lot more drainage occurring upstream it's easier to get rid of the excess water. And I guess one question I'd ask in these in these projects that you're developing, in this case Hobart Lake, but also others, are steps being taken to discourage drainage in the upper watersheds once these projects are in place? Because if not, there's also a major cost to water bird populations and potentially to citizens living downstream. One thing that I never thought that I would see water being drained from Hobart Lake into the Cheyenne River, because it's a very salty lake relative to most other wetlands. I know that there are quite severe restrictions being put on when this water can be put into the river, but at the same time it raises a question in my mind why federal funds are being involved in a project that has some downsides. Water quality is a major issue in the Red River Basin, and I think Hobart Lake represents kind of the extreme end of waters that you don't want in the river. I think the old adage for medicine applies here. If faced with a patient suffering from illness or perceived illness, use a remedy that will do no harm. And so I think in these projects, particularly in this case Hobart Lake, and others as well, a lot of care needs to be taken to ensure that the many benefits that these wetlands provide to migratory birds, as well as all Americans who in one way or another enjoy these benefits, they need to be taken into consideration. Also, this particular lake is a National Wildlife Refuge, which puts it a little higher level than some other wetlands. From my perspective, I would rather that there weren't a drain being put here, that some other options be considered. If a drain is to move forward, at a minimum, I'd like to see that it not be in excess of 3 feet deep from the existing overflow. This, I think, of my estimates I have, this would still leave about 5 feet of freeboard on Barnes County Highway 22 at the maximum level. Another thing is that we have been in an extremely wet period. I think the wettest period since this country was settled that we've been going through since 93. I think it's quite probable that we can look forward to a future that's going to be substantially drier for quite some time than what we've seen in recent years. And this should be taken into consideration too, relative to when these projects are moving forward.
I've hunted waterfowl all my life, and I've supported a lot of wetland issues. You said these grebes nest there. Where do they nest?
Where do they nest? They nest over water in thin stands.
In dead trees?
No, in thin stands of bulrush and cattail. And you have to have very thin stands. You know, you get these thick choked stands, but they won't touch something like that. They're a bird that's very sensitive to a certain type of habitat. And
I don't have the exact figures, but let's just say that lake is somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 acres now. And if we do take some water off of it and lower it to even down to 1,000 acres, I've lived here all my life. I've driven through that lake when it was bone dry. It's not a sharp declining lake. The shorelines are very gradual. Would pulling that in, would it really affect that nesting that much?
You know, that's one thing. It would have been nice to have studies to know precisely what it takes to meet their needs. But with regard to grebes, it's going to need to be at a height that's going to provide the right type of nesting, as well as invertebrates they do eat invertebrates, but they also eat small fish, and I know that their numbers have substantially increased in the years that the water levels have been high compared to what they were before.
Well, there's more acres of shoreline.
There's more acres of shoreline, there's more acres of food, you know, there. Yeah. So.
And I guess your closing statement here was that you would you could live with a 3 foot drop in the lake as opposed to 4.5 foot. We don't know. At least I don't know how much we'll lower the lake. It appears to me from what meetings we've had that to lower it 3 feet is going to take 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, it's not going to be a rapid decline. Mm-hmm. And I know the 4.5 has been a number we've talked about, but I don't think realistically it's ever, anybody ever thought it would get to that. We don't know that. If we get dry ears, it might get lower than that on its own. We don't know.